Good evening, once again, for those who were here yesterday. After listening to Geraldine and Jace, I feel like the bad cop. I mean, basically, you're looking at copyright and thinking, I've been working on this for the last 20 years, and then it's all just going up in smoke. But basically, what I'll be looking at today is, my topic is a bit controversial. Can we stop the music? And basically, I was looking at it in the context of, we're looking at music issues of how we access music, issues of piracy, what informs how we decide how we are going to access this particular music. And for those of you who are here for the keynote address on Friday with Aram, there are certain things that we are looking at. And I was thinking they're very specific issues that we need to look into. And one of them probably is the issue of what determines the way we access and distribute music. And I think Geraldine, from her perspective, she sees that this is something that we need to access, isn't it? It's something that all of us should be able to access, and we shouldn't put roadblocks in terms of whom you're dealing with. Now, when you're talking about societal attitudes, and I think this determines quite a bit of how we think we should consume or distribute this particular music. And more often than not, from the part of the world where I come from, you find that most people do not understand the whole concept of copyright. Why should you have copyright? Why should you have a right in this creative work? We want to listen to music. They don't understand music in terms of it being a creative work, and in turn being a property which ought to be recognized as such and compensated each and every time it is used. So for most people, if you talk about music, it's something that we listen to in terms of entertainment. It is something that music is just there. So the whole concept of property is very difficult for them to deal with. And I think this determines quite a bit, it goes a long way in determining how we consume, how we access, and how we appreciate music. Then there are issues of codes of conduct again. I was saying, if I take an example, when I was growing up, that's the time when we had the dubbing machines, and it was the in thing for you to be able to get as much music as possible. And the interesting thing is that you'd find that most of the music, the pirated music that we used to get in Kenya would come from Pakistan. And more often than not, if you're looking at it in terms of local music, the quality of the cassettes at that particular point from the pirated ones were actually better than the locally manufactured ones. So the tendency was for us to go and buy the pirated copies or to use the pirated copies because the quality was good. It's not like the CDs right now where it doesn't matter where you get it from, but the kind of tapes, and you're getting all these chrome tapes and everything, and the ones coming in from outside. So it did affect the way we consumed the music. And then in terms of technology, and I think we've all spoken about technology. Before then, if I wanted to listen to music, often than not, my parents, basically, they had the vinyl discs and everything, and it was quite cool. You wouldn't dare touch your parents. What was it called? The needle. You'd dare touch that thing, and basically, you'd be signing your death warrant. So you had the vinyl discs and everything. So at that particular point in time, the whole concept of piracy was a bit alien, because you can imagine, if you're looking at the vinyl plants, there were these huge industrial plants. So if you wanted to record or reproduce any music, you'd probably have to invest heavily for you to be able to do that. But as technology went, we got more advanced in technology and everything. We moved into the cassettes, and then the dubbing machines came, and it was much easier for you to deal with it. And at that point in time, we thought we had seen the end of it all. Then the VCDs and the CDs stand up, and then we were thinking, yeah, this is just it when it comes to issues of unauthorized consumption of music. Little did we know that we had something called the internet and the digital technologies coming in. And the curveballs that they have thrown at us are such that most of the time, because as a creative author, through your producers and publishing houses, it was quite easy for you to follow up on your music and deal with it. But now with all these new technologies, the issues of access basically changed. Right now, as I said, if I look at my probably 22-year-old nephew, he doesn't understand the whole concept of having, what is it called? Even just having an iPad for purposes of listening to music and everything, he's very comfortable using his telephone. As long as he has internet access, Wi-Fi, he's good to go. In terms of consumption, whether it's reading books or watching movies or watching football or whatever it is, all he needs is a mobile device and excellent internet connection. So technology has changed. Then the next thing we probably need to look into is the issue of the legal framework. How does the legal framework facilitate or otherwise inhibit access to these particular works? And I think that takes us all back to the whole issue of the Copyright Act. What is the purpose of the copyright laws? And I think at this particular point in time, you find that it's basically, the basic premise is to ensure that the creative authors or the rights holders have control of their works. They're able to prohibit or allow the exclusive use of their works. And more often than not, this is something that I think when it comes to the digital technology, the issue of the rights holders and the issues of access by the users basically come into play. And more often than not, I think we rely on issues of exceptions and limitations. Lionel today spoke about the quotation, and you know, when you're looking at it in the context of music, it's very interesting. I'd never thought of it in that context in terms of the depth that he went into. So the question is, do the laws facilitate or do they allow us to deal with these particular issues of access? Then the other thing that we look into, and I think probably it was also very good to listen to Tonya today, it's the whole issue of the interface between copyright and ICT. Because I think right now we cannot work in isolation, because for a very long time when you talked about copyright, we'd always just deal with issues of copyright. But there are quite a number of ICT issues they come up, and we have to look at the intersection between these particular ones to see how we can be able to either facilitate the copyright owners or to ensure that we do have access, and at the same time, ensure that the rights holders get what is just in terms of their creativity. And as you go on and looking into issues of law, you find that quite a number of issues in terms of ICT would either be found in the cybercrimes laws or the electronic transactions laws. And now that brings about the issue of compliance. Yes, we all have excellent legal systems and everything, but what exactly happens? Just to give you an example, where I come from, this is basically how piracy is viewed. When you're talking about music piracy, this is actually, an online ad that has been put out by the Kenya Copyright Board to try and sensitize people. So you sit down and you think, if I was to give this to if I put it out to the people who consume music online, is this enough to deter? Is it enough to deal with it? Because most people will look at it and they say, it's okay, yeah, what exactly are you talking about? So this is the approach that we're using, and it takes us back to the whole issue of the societal attitudes. What are our attitudes towards music? How do we deal with issues of compliance? And I think it takes us all the way back to the use of, the different systems that we can use for us to be able to achieve this particular balance. I've spoken about technology. So basically, when you're looking at technology, that brief history that we look from the vinyl tapes all the way down to the digital technologies, you find that it facilitates the copying and distribution of the music. And with the increased internet penetration, it makes things so much easier. So you do not have to go through the cumbersome process of storage and doing all those things. You can actually be able to deal with it. And the technology, frankly speaking, now and 20 years ago has become very affordable. I'm thinking at the time when we were using the ADSL lines, for the plug-in computer modems and stuff like that, and how long it would take. I think when I was doing my master's, probably about 18 years ago, you find that it used to take almost a day for you to download a movie. You'd plug it in and then you'd have the download manager. In fact, I think that's the time when Windows and all these people came up with the download managers and all. And you'd go away, come back, go and visit friends, and then you come 50% download. So now that has changed. You download everything in real time. So it makes access to the works that we're dealing with and these heavy media files that we're dealing with very easy for us to be able to deal with. And you see again in terms of storage, I was just thinking, when I was sending my presentation to Lina, basically I had to get my sister, who's an IT guru, to help me deal with the, you know, compress the files and deal with them so that they could be able to access the files. Otherwise, if I was the one doing it, it would be one of those files that you try to send up by the internet and you're told, sorry, it's too big. So, I mean, that helps, because now we have all these compression technologies and everything. So I do not need to have a storage device. All I need to do is to be able to stream this particular work. And then, again, as you think you've reached the last page of the internet, you have more things coming up. You have the mobile applications, which help you to download the music. And this is something that is used a lot in my country. Now, in terms of, just to give you a general idea in terms of why the internet has become, you know, very crucial, or it's the focal point when you're talking about distribution, access, and how all these different uses of music. I'm not too sure whether these figures are big enough, but this is as per 2016. The total internet users in Kenya were basically 37 million out of a total population of probably around 40, 45 million at that particular point in time. But the interesting thing is that you'll notice that over probably 80% of this is new, through mobile data subscriptions. And one of the reasons why that has been the case is that for a very long time we've had very affordable internet accessibility, and that is through the phone. So it's actually cheaper for you to access it on your phone. It is actually cheaper when you're dealing with the fiber cable and everything, but in terms of accessibility, because I think they're still laying out the cables all over the place, you find that the mobile data subscription is really high. So you find that the population, which 70% of them are below the ages of probably 25, you find that they access everything in terms of music, content, whatever it is that they're dealing with, educational material, they use the mobile technologies. So this, what does this basically mean? You find that it has paved way for very different forms of distribution. Some may be legitimate, some may not be. It depends on how you look at it. And you find like, now one of the issues, the one that I've put there, it's one of the platforms, and I think one, in terms of innovations, when you're looking at mobile applications, you find that quite a number of the countries, including Kenya, this is one of the fastest growing industries, so to speak. So one of the biggest telcos, what they've decided to do was to actually come up with a streaming service known as Songa. So you're able to get the music live or online. And basically it's to capitalize. And one of the things that you're going to look at is you need to know your market for you to be able to know how they want to have their music delivered to them. As I said, some of them are illegal. Others, you know, it depends on how you're looking at it. But in most instances, you find that the users, as I said, would prefer not to store their music in their devices, but only need internet access to have the streaming devices. And that is, again, coupled with the penetration of the mobile telephony, as well as the affordable internet. I'm not too sure how far that will go now that we've been slapped with almost 10% tax on mobile phones and everything. So it might slow down the entire trend. So in terms of internet and digital technologies, I'll just give you some of the programs, I mean the applications that they use. That's Apple, Deezer, Pandora, Songa, SoundCloud, Spotify, Tidal, TuneIn. Those are the ones that you'll find that quite a number of people at home would be using. And then how else do they access this music? So you find that at some point you still have the hard copies, but they don't, I mean, quite a number, that would probably be for the older generation, anybody who's probably 40 and above. They're the ones who still insist on having physical copies of whatever it is that you need. Then you have all these different sites where they can actually download the music. And these are all basically Kenyan, the Mdundo, and you find that some of them, it would cost as little as probably $1.50, the equivalent of $1.50 for probably 20 downloads or whatever it is. So it's quite affordable for those who want to use the music, to access the music in a legitimate way. Then I think Jace, basically, I'm sure you're familiar with all this. These are the kind of people whom basically right now are literally taking over. And they do have the online radio mixes. It's not necessarily through an intermediary like YouTube, but they'd basically be having streaming services. So you find that they actually do have the mixes on radio and whatever it is that you're dealing with. And I guess the services that we have probably on YouTube and everything, more often than not, you can create your playlist, either have it as public or private or whatever it is, and people can be able to look at it, to listen to it at that particular point in time. And then just to take you to some very interesting culture that we have at home, our public transport, we have minivans. They're very devilish looking things if you look at them. These are basically about 40-seater vans. They're a cross between buses and minivans. And they're very popular among the young people. And one of the things, as I told you, for the young people, if you want to attract them, if you want them to get to do anything, and if you want them to be able to get into your public transport, you find that they do have Wi-Fi. So most of the public, these particular minivans have Wi-Fi. And if you look closely at the interior, they have screens and things, and you know, you can be able to stream, you can be able to listen to music and stuff like that. So this is something that basically, this is one of the ways that you'd find that they'd be listening to. So you'd have guys inside the public vehicle listening to the, what do you call it? The music, either they've plugged in their earphones or they've, gone access the internet, or they listen to the VJs and watch the VJs on the multiple screens. Half of the time, I don't understand how they do it, because it's normally not one screen playing, it's multiple screens playing different music. So does copyright still have a role to play? And I think it depends on how you look at it. To the extent that you're the rights holder or the creator, yes, you're looking at it because it gives you that particular, it helps you, guard and monetize on your creativity. At the same time, there are those who look at it as an impediment to the growth and development, because they're saying that it's not allowing, maybe the exceptions and limitations are too restrictive, or maybe it's something that we need to look into. So to a certain extent, the laws have been applied to forge compliance, but this has been challenged, especially with the internet access. So you find that many people look at it and they say, with the internet, we need to look at this is a different platform and everything. Works should be accessed easily, and probably copyright with the technological protection measures and everything is causing these problems. So the question is, how do we deal with this? Because more often than not, it seems like technology is always way ahead. When we're looking at the history of copyright, you find that even music, as we stand, quite a number of things were incorporated as the technology comes in. So at the time when they were dealing with the Statute of Anne, I think it was mainly issues of public performances and everything, but at that point in time, they were only interested in the stationers. But now with the technology, what happens? How do we deal? How do we deal with issues of access and control in relation to copyright and the music industries? So the question is, are there alternative forms of accessing music? And I think from the various discussions that we've had since Friday, yes, we do have alternatives. And one of them is to leverage on technology. And there are many ways to do this in terms of probably applying the copy control measures and all those things. But I think one of the best things I had today was the issue of using the blockchain technology. How do we deal with these issues? Because it's an issue. There are people who are monetizing using your work. How is it that we can be able to follow up on that particular use? And I think blockchain technology is something that we can look at. Understanding the trends and the market. And I think this is one of the areas, yes, copyright will still have a role to play, but we need to understand what the market demands and how we can be able to access the music without necessarily having infringement. And you find that, I think again in my younger days in the Scandinavian, you'd find that that's before Spotify and all those people, everybody wanted to comply. But the question is, were there legitimate sites? So the question is, have we facilitated the access legitimately? And at the same time, how will the artists monetize? Because, as much as we say that we don't want, some artists just want to be known. Most of the time, yes, they want to be known. But they hope that by becoming famous, they, after that, will be able to make money. How will they make the money? again, it takes you back to the issue of copyright. And then the change of attitude. We need to appreciate music and the creators and be able to know, I mean, to facilitate them. And finally, can we stop the music? Nope. Let the music play. Thank you.